ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me today is my needle-wielding friend, Anna.
Hello there.
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us here at our table. And let me tell you, if you're here in Nashville, you want to be at the table and not outside because it is freezing.
Yes, it is. Jared almost lost his fingers this afternoon.
Oh my, it was terrible. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Patchwork, designed by Uwe Rosenberg, artwork created by Clemens Franz, Rex Lee, Jolanta Linzozic, and Gru Sao, and published by Lookout Games.
Patchwork is a two-player only intense tile-laying game where players are looking to build the highest scoring quilt.
Yep.
The game divides into the age-old debate of what is more valuable, money spent or time saved. As players navigate the Tetris-like patches, both are looking to claim the most buttons by the game's end. Is this game buttoned up, or is it simply a loose thread slowly unwinding into nothingness?
Womp, womp, womp.
That is so dark. But you get to find out as we talk about Patchwork today.
All right, Anna, I have a question.
Shoot.
Did you have a favorite blanket when you were a child?
Well, as a matter of fact, Jared, my blanket was my favorite, just everything. So I know some kids will have, you know, a favorite toy or a favorite stuffed animal or, I don't know, something else. But I had a favorite blanket, and its name was Blanky.
Perfect.
Naturally.
Very on brand.
Yes. And it was a white blanket with little rainbow hearts all over it and a beautiful crocheted edge that my dear grandmother made for me when I was born.
Wow. Good old Gigi.
It's true. And so I carried that thing around everywhere. And, you know, when I stopped sucking my thumb, I started chewing on the blanket. You know, it's kind of how I transitioned that way and just cuddle with every night. And there's even one point in time when I was, you know, having a fun little kid's insecurity PTSD reaction to this really huge flood that we lived through in Houston, where we had to be evacuated out of our house, that I tied up every single one of my cherished possessions into this blanket and carried it around my house for just every single day for months upon end, you know, just in case we ever had to be evacuated again, I would get to carry all my cherished possessions with me. And Blanky was number one on that list.
So I've heard that story before, the flood part specifically. I mean, I've heard all of it. So this is a little bit of a different dynamic than when Ian and I do it because we don't know each other's answers. But I will say, it is always interesting to me whenever you talk about tying up the blanket with your possessions. And I just picture you like tying it on the end of a stick and having that very cartoony kind of look where you're just kind of walking with it over your shoulder all around the house.
Oh, that's true. That would have been a way to do it. I actually ended up tying it almost in like a sling where my arm could kind of slide in it.
That is closer to your body, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and like I tied it around my neck and then just all my cherished possessions were hanging around in there. So I'm sure my parents were really worried about me. But, you know, we got through it. We were fine after a little while.
Sure. I mean, obviously a very traumatic event.
Yeah.
but no, thank you for correcting my headcanon because that's how I always had it, was that very cartoony kind of blanket on a stick kind of thing going on.
Yep. I think Blanky probably is still somewhere in that memories box in our basement. Mm. But Blanky was quite shredded by the time I was an adult.
That makes sense.
How about you, Jared? Did you have a favorite kind of blanket as you were growing up as a kid?
I don't know. I guess the answer is technically yes. I actually still own the blanket that I'm going to talk about, and it's on our couch. Yeah. But no, I fell into the camp of I had a favorite toy growing up.
Oh, weirdo.
I know. It's crazy. No, I had one of those really awesome Power Rangers. I had the Red Ranger with the little, you could press his chest and it would, the head would flip from the helmet to Jason.
Ooh, nice.
And so that was my like comfort toy. But I also was really into Pokemon, and I got this blanket that had the four starters from the original Gen 1.
Yeah, yeah.
And I slept with that blanket every night. I didn't have like an emotional attachment to it, I don't think, but I definitely really enjoyed it. And I have held on to that blanket. I thought I'd lost it when we moved out. But then I was cleaning out mom and dad's attic several years ago. I think Faith was like maybe one or two at the time.
Okay.
And I happened to find it. And I was like, oh man, I want to pass this on to Faith now because this was mine growing up. So I was really excited to find it.
Aw. Okay. So hang on, because we technically have two blankets on our couches that are Pokemon blankets.
That's true.
So which one is yours? Because I've never heard this story before and I don't even know what you're talking about.
Wow.
I know. You know all about my trauma blanket and I know nothing about your attic Pokemon blanket.
To our listeners, I'm a really bad storyteller when it comes to specifically in telling stories about myself when I was younger. And
it's so
and
true.
Anna wants more of these stories.
I will make fun of Jared that he remembers none of his childhood and that every time I ask for stories about his childhood, he tells me the same two stories every single time.
The number gets smaller all the time. It used to be three and now it's down
always
to
two.
What a disaster. No. So anyways, it's the one with kind of the, I don't even know what kind, it's not the like fleece material.
It's not the fluffy one. It's like the knit one.
Yeah, it's more of a knit with like the stringy edges.
That's called fringe. Yeah.
Yeah, the fringe. Yes, of course. I'm an expert when it comes to all things sewing and quilty stuff. But no, the fleecy one that's more soft, I think.
That was like a Christmas present
for
the kids.
Like one of the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And this was, yeah. That's right. That's what it was. Because Faith had mine. And Joy wanted a Pokemon blanket.
That's true,
so
yes.
I can't remember if it was Christmas or a birthday or whatever. But anyways, so yes. So we have two Pokemon blankets now.
As all people should, really.
Yes, and
it's a great addition to our couch.
Of course, of course. Hope took a left turn and got Totoro instead. But, you know, so whatever. Everyone's happy. But patchwork, shall we?
Is about quilts.
It is about quilts
so,
and buttons.
You know, just slightly related to blankets. We're on
have
the
you
right
ever,
track here.
Have you, well, okay, follow-up question. Have you ever made a quilt?
Well, do you remember that time that you lost 100 pounds?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, so you remember how you had all these really nice shirts? Like you had these baseball jerseys
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And you were really sad that you didn't fit in any of them because you'd lost 100 pounds. And so
I don't know how sad I was about that. It was more of like,
you were so sad.
This like slight consequence of a really great thing that had happened.
You know, any emotions you have, I'm just going to capitalize on. So Jared was just heartbroken, crying.
Devastated, really.
Over losing these really nice jerseys because he had lost 100 pounds. And so I started on the process of making them into a t-shirt quilt for him. I made all of the squares and did not sew any of them together. And that is all of the progress that I've ever made in sewing a quilt. It's actually still in our basement. One of these days,
truthfully,
you could get a quilt with all of your old jerseys in it and be like, wait a second, I haven't seen these in 15 years.
So truthfully, I had thought about that when I was typing up the notes for this episode, and I was like, I don't know if that counts as a quilt or not.
What? That's totally a quilt.
I mean, I'm sure it is. It's not like a questioning your talents. It's I wouldn't know the difference. Like, what crosses the line into a quilt versus a regular blanket?
Well, it's a quilt because you're piecing together patches of material, and especially because the t-shirts themselves are stretchy, so you can't actually sew them in a block. So I was having to back them with a different kind of material. That's why it took so long. So I actually have all of them backed downstairs in the basement and the little strips that were going to run in between them. And I just never sewed them together.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, like you said, maybe someday.
Maybe someday. If you get really heartbroken over the jerseys again, you know, bump it up the list a little.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure I'll find it in me at some point.
So tell us about all the quilts that you've sewn, Jared.
I haven't sewn any quilts.
Oh.
I'm trying to think. I think I've sewn something.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, like, legitimately, I've always had people, like my dad could sew, you could sew. I've never had a reason to learn how to sew.
Wow. Okay, well, hope I don't die or anything.
That would be devastating.
Yeah, then you'd have to learn how to sew.
Yes, that is true. There would be other reasons that would make that problematic.
Oh, man. Well, that's interesting, though, because you regularly beat me at this game of making quilts, and now I feel like...
So, it's interesting, because I don't know that this game actually has a whole lot to do with the knowledge of making quilts. Are you cool if we dive into how to play?
Oh, I suppose we must at some point.
You were talking about dying. I don't want this to get any darker, so I think I'll just move on to the how to play.
Dying, my childhood trauma. We're good. We're good.
I suppose. Yeah. My emotions hitting through the roof. I mean,
that's
it's
right.
Just,
man.
We're bringing it all out on the
you
table
tonight.
You guys
are just getting an inside view. We've been cooped up in the house all day with 8 inches of snow outside, and we are letting loose.
Yep. All right, we're going to talk about how to play Patchwork. The goal of Patchwork is to have the most buttons at the end of the game. You know, I say that. That's not 100% true, because you could have the most buttons at the end of the game and still lose this game. The goal of the game is to have the most points at the end of the game. And I'll tell you why.
Buttons are points.
They are, but I'll tell you what I'm talking about towards the end of my little spiel here.
Oh, wow.
So, both players will receive a board with a 9x9 grid on it, 5 buttons to start, and a time marker. In between the two players sits another board where each player will place their marker on the start space. We'll call this the time track. Additionally, players will take all the Tetris-like patch tiles, put them in a circle, and then put the spool marker directly clockwise to the 2-button one-time patch. On a player's turn, they can choose to purchase one of the next 3 patches in clockwise order from the spool token, or they can pass. If a player purchases a patch, they take that patch and place it into their 9x9 grid. It can go anywhere you want it to. Doesn't have to touch another tile. Do whatever you want, as long as it fits on the board, and it cannot cover up any of the other patches that you've already placed on the board. Each patch has a unique shape. In addition to the shape and quilty-like artwork, each patch will have a button and time cost. In addition to points, buttons also act as the currency of the game. So, you're asking yourself, all right, I started with 5 buttons, and I have to spend those buttons to get patches. How do I score? Well, patch tiles have one more icon on them, or at least on most of them.
Some of them.
Most of them. Patch tiles will range from having 0 to 3 button icons marked on the tile to indicate how many buttons that particular patch will add when players collect income at certain points on the time track. You gotta spend buttons to make buttons. When purchasing a patch tile, the player will spend the amount of buttons listed and will then move forward on the time track. If your time marker is in front of the other player's time marker, then your turn is complete. If, however, your time marker is still behind or on top of the other player's time marker, you may continue with another turn. Again, once you've passed the other player on the time track, your turn is ended. But there are a few more things we need to note about the time track. First, there are 5 single square patches at various points on the time track. If you pass over a single patch with your time marker, you get to take the single patch and add it to your quilt immediately. If you pass a single patch space and nothing is there because the other player has already taken it, you get nothing. Second, if you pass over a button icon on the time track, you collect income. Count all button markers on the tiles currently in your quilt and add that many buttons to your stash. Third, there is a center square that both time markers will eventually get to. Once both time markers are in the center square, that marks the end of the game. A few more things to note here. I mentioned earlier that you could also pass instead of buying a patch. To pass, you will move your time marker token from where it currently sits to 1 space in front of your opponents and then collect 1 button for each space traveled. One more method of scoring. Whoever completely fills out a full 7x7 grid on their board first, inside the 9x9 of course, gains an additional 7 points. Full meaning that there can be absolutely no empty holes. Once the game ends, you count up your score. Each button is worth 1 point, but each empty space on your quilt is minus 2 points. Once you've added up your buttons, subtracted your failures, and gotten your final total, one of you gets to look at your quilt in proud approval, while the other is probably cleaning up their pieces to move on. Let's head back over to the table and discuss.
So, Jared.
Yes, Anna.
We've been playing this game for several years.
We have.
And I know you just talked about how you've never sewn anything in your life, but does this make you kind of feel like you're actually creating something, creating a quilt as you play this game?
I guess yes and no. For me, this is one of those games that I can drop the theme pretty quickly.
Oh, no.
And enjoy the very puzzly aspect of the game. So I feel like I'm making a quilt and that I like making all the pieces work together. I don't think that's at all what quilting is all about, but I've never made a quilt, so I don't know. But like I said in the little how to play, all the pieces have very different shapes, very Tetris-like, and I love Tetris. So I like that aspect of learning how to make the pieces fit, kind of seeing the here and now of what piece I need next and how that fits into the overall picture. You're almost playing like a Queen's Gambit kind of thing where she's laying in bed moving the queen piece, the chess pieces around. I'm doing the same thing on the quilt or on the the quilt board where I'm trying to picture, okay, this one's coming up in about 3 or 4 turns. I could lay it here and that sort of aspect. But I don't know. I mean, you are making a pretty thing by the time it's done. So that's kind of how I feel about it. What about you?
I'd agree that it feels more like a quilt at the end when I look at it rather than when I'm constructing it. I do appreciate the artwork in the game, which we'll probably talk about later, obviously, but I appreciate being able to look at it afterwards and be like, man, that's a really pretty... So yeah, I don't know. I mean, as far as how quilts are made nowadays, you know, you just go buy the fabric and cut it into whatever shape you want.
Sure.
Whereas in this game, you've got these pre-cut pieces...
You're limited to what you have.
...that
yeah.
you need to fit together. So potentially, you know, if we didn't live in such an affluent society and we were piecing together old clothes to try to make a blanket for ourselves, then it might feel more realistic. But again, well, nowadays, you want to make a quilt, you just go buy a whole yard of fabric and you can do whatever you want with it.
Well, as someone who is ignorant to making quilts, talking to someone who has made quilt-like things, did you not do something similar to that with the shirts that I gave you? Or was that easier because you could go buy the fabric to back them?
I mean, I did do a little bit of math as to like, okay, what square size do I need to cut the shirts into in order to have them total a queen size quilt when I do like, I don't know, 4 across 6 down or something like that.
Right.
And what would include the logos that we're wanting to display because it was, again, you're like your jerseys. And so you can't just, you know, cut off the R in Derek Jeter's name or anything like that.
That would be a tragedy.
It would. That would not make any sense. And so... So there was a little bit of mathing it out in that respect, but again, I've read some books with the kids that are quilt like books or somebody, you know, making a patchwork quilt or jacket for one of their kids in this poor mountain town or something. And that seems a lot more like, okay, you have what you have and you've got to piece it all together and make it into something else. So I think it could reflect quilting, just not the type of quilting that I have done. And I think definitely at the end, when you look at how all the pieces fit together, you don't see the individual pieces because each piece is made out of different patches. And when you stick them all together, all you see is I've got a 4 across 6 down or whatever beautiful array of patches in my quilt.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It's kind of interesting because if I don't keep all of my tiles together and fit everything nice and tight, at the end, I'll kind of look at it and be like, well, dang, my quilt's got a hole here and it's got a hole here. And
it's true. It looks sad if you've got those holes in it. You don't feel as accomplished as if you've made a nice cohesive quilt, even though you're definitely going to have a few rough edges at the end, because once you get to the end, you've got this tiny little strip down the side and not every piece is going to fit in that.
That's right.
So you just do the best you can.
For sure. Do you have a favorite mechanic in this game?
My favorite mechanic is probably the ability to look and plan ahead. One of my favorite ways to play the game is to try to get the really big pieces in my quilt first, because the big pieces are more useful when you've got more space. You can't fit the huge or really irregular shaped pieces in your quilt at the end. And some of those bigger pieces or more irregular shaped pieces have more buttons on them, which then give me more points for longer periods of time each time I pass a button on the time track. And so that helps me because if I have these really weird, huge pieces that I get at the beginning, then I really need to be looking ahead toward the end of the game to say, oh, I've got a little L-shaped set of four here that I need to get, or I've got a little set of two here that I need to get, or I've only got a one. So I really need to make sure and beat Jared to the next quilt patch, because that's the only way to get a one square is if you are the first one to pass a quilt patch on the time board. So I like that aspect of it, of being able to plan ahead and really see what's going to fit into your puzzle, kind of see the whole big picture. How about you?
I really enjoy that as well. And not just for yourself, but also, like you mentioned, to kind of anticipate what your opponent's going to want, because there's ways to manipulate that cycle in the middle with the spool to where you're giving your opponent things that they don't really want. And then they've got to wrestle with, well, do I take the less than stellar piece or do I continue to jump ahead and waste time?
Yeah.
But I think that the time aspect, I think, is my favorite. Because if you had buttons and you had to buy these, you know, patch pieces and make them fit, and you still had the cycle thing, like, that would all be fine. It would be an okay game, it would be okay. But the addition of adding time to it, to where you only have so much time to add each of these pieces to your quilt, and you're running out of it as you're collecting buttons, as you're buying those big pieces, typically have a massive time sink that go into them. So yes, you're going to get more buttons, but if you get that thing late, then there's a chance you're burning through a lot of time and it might not even be worth it. So I like the double currency of having, I have to spend this many buttons to buy this thing, and that's costing me points, but I'm also spending time, and that's costing me the ability to do other things.
I think that's a good point. And I will say that I think at the start, it's easy to underestimate time.
Yes.
You're just focusing on your currency and can I buy the next big thing that I see coming up on the track? However, time starts to seem really important when you jump so far ahead on the track that your opponent gets to take two turns. Because remember, they get to take turns until they catch up to you on the time track. And so all of a sudden, you bought this nice big piece, you jumped way ahead, and they got to buy two for the turn of for the one turn.
Or three, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, or even three. And so, yeah, I think it's easy getting into this game to underestimate the time piece, and learning how to navigate that is part of becoming more adept at the game, for sure.
Absolutely. So what about, do you have any critiques for the game?
Well, honestly, not really. I think this is a solid game. I'd say when I'm playing it, I'm frustrated that I never seem to have enough buttons that I can buy everything that I want. But really, that's kind of the whole economy of the game. You know, you can't cut the patches into whatever shapes you want. You've got to deal with the patches that are there. And you can't just get whatever you want. You've got to deal with whatever buttons you have. And so that's an important part of the game, even though it's frustrating when I'm in the middle and playing it.
Yeah.
Frankly, I personally hate jumping the other person and just getting money for it, because I like getting the patches and I like fitting them into my quilt. But sometimes you just got to do that, because you've just got to get the buttons in order to get your quilts. And it's okay to spend a turn making income instead of being artistic sometimes.
For as thin, in my opinion, as the theme is, it is easy to get locked into what you want your quilt to look like and end up making a bad decision because of that.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of critiques either. We had an early copy of the game. Like, we have, like, this game's been around for a long time, so this might have been fixed with later printings. But my critique is in the sizing of the pieces. So there's times where, you know, you're putting these Tetris pieces together and either you couldn't fit one inside the other, or they'd get stuck or kind of a little bit smushed together. And there were several times where I was like, this isn't just, it's not fitting together. It's not looking like a quilt. It's just, I'm laying these pieces kind of really close, even though they're supposed to be able to fit together. So for me, when pieces are supposed to fit in because it's part of the game, I would really like the pieces to be able to do that. And again, that might've been fixed with later printings, but I know in our copy, that was not necessarily the case.
And it's hard to know too, because the game is punched cardboard.
Sure.
And so whenever you've got a punched cardboard game, you've always got that one side that's rounded where the blade came down and the other side that's really nice and clean. And one cool thing about all the pieces is that they're, you can flip them over. They're reversible.
That's true.
And so you can fit them into your board in any orientation. And I think sometimes that makes them fit not quite as well together, though, because if you flip it and you've got the rounded edge versus the sharp edge, sometimes they don't fit as well together.
Yeah. No, that's true. And we'll talk about artwork next. I did want to note one more thing. I know at least two other couples that play this game, and it can be a point of frustration because one will be significantly better than the other. So I don't think that's a critique of the game so much as a heads up that if one of you picks it up better than the other, it is easy to run away with this game and kind of get significantly better at it if you either play the app in between, like when you're bored at work or something, or if you just in your downtime and like if you play more or pick it up faster, there is a chance you can run away with it. And with a two-player specifically game, that can be hard. But I don't know that we've really experienced that. I feel like most of our games have been really tight.
Definitely, yeah.
And so I just will add that as a note of some couples' experience that I've heard from.
But really, it's a solid game. It is really well balanced between the time and the money and the length and
100%. Yeah. No, finding critiques was very difficult. It felt very nitpicky for sure. But with that, we've mentioned the artwork a little bit. I love the artwork in this game. I love the thing that Anna mentioned where you can flip the tile over and it still works both ways. I also like that you have a time cost, a button cost, and button icons on the tile piece. And these aren't massively big pieces, but between those icons, the artwork still shows through and you can still easily see the icons. So the blend was really well done, in my opinion, as far as the artwork goes.
Yes, and really the buttons that are on the tile pieces, because not all the tiles have buttons. So you think that that might take away, but the buttons are placed kind of between the quilt pieces. And so it really just looks like they blend into the overall aesthetic of the quilt when you're done. And like I said, when you've got everything fit together, and if you don't have holes in the middle, it looks like
looks awesome.
A beautiful piece-by-piece square quilt when you're finished. You can't even tell that it's different pieces all fit together, which I think is a really cool thing with the artwork.
For sure. And I mean, this might be what was low-hanging fruit, and I just don't know anything about quilting, but buttons as the currency was an incredible choice. I love the buttons, and I love that concept of that's what you're spending to be able to get your patchwork or your different patches together.
Yeah.
All right. Ease of access, Anna. How difficult or easy was it to learn and kind of pick this game up the first couple of times?
Oh, this game was super easy to learn the rules of it. Very basic. I was actually wondering as you went through all the rules, I was like, man, I feel like he's taken longer to explain these rules than we even took to learn it the first time. And you did a great job explaining the rules. I'm not critiquing you or anything like that, but it was a really simple game to just pick up and learn. Now, I did mention earlier that early on in learning the game, I definitely downplayed the importance of time. And so there's a way of growing and learning how to play the game better. And so just having an ease of access doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be an expert at it the first time. But it's a really easy game to just pick up and play. It is often the one that we'll pick out if we want something quick to connect for a date night, or maybe we watched a movie, we've got a little bit of extra time before bed, and we're like, hey, let's do a little 15 to 20 minute game of patchwork. It's a really easy thing to do. We'll bring it on trips or on even dates out other places because it travels really well. And yeah, so
it's in a small box too.
Yeah, it is. And I'd say it's probably the top two-player game that we will recommend to other couples as well.
That's
because,
true.
Because a lot of other couples, maybe you've got one person that's a gamer and the other person's not, and it's a game that's really accessible for all levels.
I agree. And I like what you said, that there's a lot of depth to this game, which is what I hear a lot. Like I'll describe, you know, you get that look of like, okay, we're doing quilts, cool, whatever. Like it's this cute little game. And then people will get into it and like, oh, there's a lot more here than I thought there was. And there is. It definitely has an insane amount of depth. It's part of why we keep coming back to it is I think you and I still feel like we're getting better at it even as we play it as many times as we have.
Oh, definitely. And it's one of the first two-player games we bought.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's been years.
Yeah.
I think this game came out in like 2009 or something like that. So it's been a long time.
We probably bought it very shortly after that.
Something like that. Yeah, for sure. But anyways, so but the cool part about it is, even though there's a bunch of depth, it is also very easy to, like you said, to just dump out, put the pieces on the table and start building a quilt. And it doesn't have to be this really intense down to the wire, not sure who's going to pull it out kind of thing. So I agree. I think it is really easy to access. Does it travel well? You mentioned that you think it does travel well. I have mixed opinions. So it does travel well in that it's very easy for me to throw this very small box in a bag and take it on vacation. I don't know that it travels well, like to a restaurant, because of that circle in the middle with how big it gets with all the different patches. I think it just takes up too much room to where it can be taken to a public space where there's potentially other things that are going to end up on the table as well. If it was just for that, then I think it's fine. I mean, it's not a massive table spot, but I do think that if like you were going to have food too, I don't know that I would ever take this to a restaurant. But I agree. We do throw it in the bag a lot when we go on vacation.
Yeah, we bring it on trips a lot. I would say, so you're right that it's a small box because the only set size, the only board is this little time track that you're using, which is what, like 6 inches by 6 inches or something? Or maybe 8 by 8?
Yeah. Maybe 9 by 9 since the grid is a 9 by 9 as well.
Maybe, but, yeah. So yeah. You've got your two boards and you've got this time track board. And then you arrange all these Tetris quilt pieces in a circle around, and then you move the time marker around. So that gives you an idea of how much space it would take up. I think you could play it on a restaurant table. Do not think you could play it on the flip out on an airplane, though.
Definitely not. It is not.
So don't try that.
No, it is not Sky Team. Sorry. It is not that. That would be a mess. Especially since like you can't lock the pieces in, like they're just sitting on this piece of cardboard.
It's true. Number one, it would be hard to fit in that small of an area. It could fit on a normal restaurant table, but it could not fit on an airplane tray table. And yeah, there's too many loose pieces
to carry
it in the car or something on an airplane.
I'm so glad that Sky Team set the bar that a tray table is our like bare minimum.
You said travel, you know, airplanes is how people travel.
No, I'm totally on board with it. I think it's great. All right. Price point. Looking around, and I was actually kind of surprised by this. Price point on this, even after like, you know, finding online retailers who give a discount or whatever, typically find it between $28 and $35. Do you feel like that is an appropriate price point for this game?
I would say that surprises me a little bit. I would have expected it to be less. Again, it's a great game.
Yeah.
I think it's worth a good price point because of the great game it is, but more just the size of it. It's a fairly small box. Like I mentioned, it's basically all just punched cardboard. And so I would have expected it to be a little bit less, but I like the game enough that I'd say I think it's worth the investment for other people who haven't experienced yet.
Yeah, I completely agree. So from a game perspective, I would be happy paying $50 for this game. Like, I think it's that the game is that good. But from a component standpoint, I fully expected after the discount to be in like a $20 range for this game.
Yeah.
So if you're really high on components, the sticker shock might be a little bit for you. But if you're mainly focused on finding a good game, then I think this is a steal, even at 35. I think it's 100% worth the money. And I think that it's something that both gamers and non-gamers can enjoy alike. And there are a variety of versions. There's the original version is still in print, but they've also got like a Valentine's Day version, a Christmas version, and all these other ones that you can choose from if that's your fancy. So there's no expansions or anything for it, but definitely if you have a particular flavor that you want to throw on it for artwork's sake, you can definitely do that. With that, let's go ahead and move into grading and final thoughts.
Sounds good.
Would you like to go first or would you like me to?
I've gone first like every question. You can go first.
Oh, all right. Well, very good. I, as most people have probably figured out at this point, I really love this game. I was blown away by this game when I first played it. I could not believe how good this game was. I have played this game on my phone a lot. I have played this game with you a lot. And I love it. It's a 20-minute game. It feels like every decision matters. It is something where it's easy. I don't have to I don't like having games where it's the end of the night, I want to play something quick, and I've got to remember a bunch of rules. Like, it's so easy to get on the table and just start playing, and I love it. I also really enjoy that it is very intense. Who would have ever thought that a quilting game would be super intense? But like I said, I feel like every move matters. And if I make a mistake, then I'm sweating bullets that I've screwed it up for the rest of the game. So for me, it just checks a lot of the boxes. It does exactly what I want it to. I give this game an A.
Wow. You had so much passion in that description.
The emotion's just seeping out of me.
I'm loving it. The emotions are just traveling across the table here. Well, I will start with my grade first because I also agree I would give this game an A. I would give it high 90s of a grade. I love this game as well. It has been a staple of our date nights, of our relationship for 10 plus years since we've had it. I love that it doesn't take very long, that I can always remember all of the rules, and that it still feels like a competitive, important game, even though it doesn't take very long. It's not just a, well, that was kind of a waste of time kind of a game.
Or just a quick activity where we're just kind of hanging out.
Right. Yeah. It's not just, we're doing this just because we have 15 minutes to kill.
Right.
It feels like an intentional use of 15 minutes where we've got strategy, we've got competition and everything like that. I will say, though, a plus point for this game for me is that when we invest a very long period of time into a world building game, which are some of my favorites, really. Yeah. I love world building games. And so this really checks that box for me because I'm creating this quilt. But a lot of world building games or kingdom building games are very long. You're building over the course of, an hour or more.
Sure.
And man, when you beat me in those games, I felt good the whole time. And then I just feel so sad at the end because I just built this beautiful thing. And then,
I built one better.
And then Jared was better. So, you beat me sometimes at Patchwork and I still feel like we can be friends afterwards because
incredible.
I can just, we just play again. It only took 15 minutes. I'm just going to beat you next round. So that's a plus point for me as well.
Yeah. I want to clarify, I think 15 minutes is a little tight. I think you're probably closer to 20, maybe 30, depending on how well you've played, the game.
It's true. I'd say 20 is probably the average for us, but we play kind of fast.
Right. We kind of know what we're choosing at this point. I think you're going to start out more in the 30 minute range, but like with anything, as you get to know it better, you'll move a little bit faster. But I don't know. If we played in 15 minutes before, I don't remember it.
Sorry, I'm not that great with time estimation.
It's okay. We all have our own strengths. I'm just glad we can play this game and still be friends afterwards. That's a big plus for me.
Yeah, especially if you're playing it for date night. It's nice to still like each other at the end of it.
There are games that I actively avoid because I know that either I would have to lose or I would have to.
Okay. Have you ever intentionally lost a game just to get me to like you at the end? Don't say yes. Oh, no.
No, I'm just trying to, I'm just thinking. I'm racking my brain of all the games we played over the last 12 years. I think I can honestly say no.
Okay, good.
I've never thrown a game.
All right, good.
Not with you.
Okay, good. Just with the kids.
I have thrown games before, but not with you.
I know. I'm glad to know that our relationship isn't built on a lie and a scam. So thank you for admitting that. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, after this very interestingly dark episode, thank you all for joining us at the table. I hope that you've enjoyed it. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I completely understand that. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice. If you do like socials, following us on your socials and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as Ian and I take a look at the very interesting, very unique theme of bees in space. The game is called Apiary.
Buzz.
In the meantime, May your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Goodbye.
Stay warm out there, folks. It's very cold.